ladies and gentlemen.
Pacific Sound Radio.
Hello, and the happiest of Thanksgivings to everybody. Welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. I'm Travis Noel.
And I'm Jaden Fraze, filling in for James, who's out of town for a cornucopia of festivities. He'll be back in time for next week, though. We've got a stellar episode for you today. First off, we're going to be talking with Jeff Ojeda, artist manager extraordinaire, as well as the groovy, jazzy folk rock band Danger Tree.
Then, if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to come down to the Persephone Snug for a super intimate concert with Danger Tree at 6. The show's by donation. All proceeds go to the band. Seating is limited, so get here early. We'd love to meet you, and the beer is delicious.
All right. Are we on to the news weekly roundup today?
Mm-hmm. All right. First up, congratulations to Matt Hoyles for winning the And Alive Community Showcase. We went to the showcase on Thursday. We had a great time. Super looking forward to the next one. He's going to end up headlining the next showcase. He's going to receive either the marketing or artist development package from Nimbus School of Recording and Media, as well as be a featured guest on our show before the next And Alive in a few months.
Yeah, that's actually going to be sweet. I'm looking forward to that. Kind of a range of talent last Thursday, which was super, super dope.
Yeah, it's great. They have 10 artists, but like super short sets.
Yeah, yeah. It opens up the world of, you know, what kind of artists are out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely, I mean, just a range in terms of just like some cool bluesy rock kind of stuff to, you know, really intimate acoustic guitar, you know, singer-songwriter kind of stuff. So definitely looking forward to the next one, which will be next quarter.
Yeah.
And can't wait to see who else we can potentially have on our show there.
Mm-hmm. And in other news, Canadian rock band 5440 was robbed outside of New West a few days ago.
It's
a shitty thing to do. Somebody broke into their U-Haul and stole 3 electric guitars, 2 acoustic guitars, 1 bass, and a mandolin. All Fender or Gibson. If anyone has information as to where the gear is, they're offering a $5,000 reward for info that leads to its return.
Definitely a shitty thing, for one.
Yeah. I feel like we should become detectives. Find out what happened.
Can we do that? Jeff, do you want to join us on that?
Yeah, sure. I'm down. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
We can Sherlock this thing, and you know,
I feel like if I was the one who stole it, I'd be like, $5,000.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine those are priceless guitars, but I also imagine it'd be hard to sell that with everybody.
Yeah.
Who knows the band?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's
right.
I found this dumped. Can I have my $5,000?
Yeah, yeah. Does that even work?
Well,
I mean, I guess if you're quite a charismatic fellow, perhaps.
If you're a charismatic van breaker and tour.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
All right, jumping into some more news. The Georgia Strait has released their Best of Vancouver lists. Here's the ones we give a shit about. Starting off, the best community festival. They named West 4th's Catsalano Street Party, which was actually a blast this year as well. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. That was number one on the list. A couple others they mentioned, Italian Day on the Drive, and, of course, Car Free Day Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Best independent music label, 604 Records / Light Organ, Mint Records, and Neptune Records.
All super cool folks.
Yeah.
I think we had Ryan on from Mint Records a few months ago. Super cool guy.
Ryan's a great guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Super, super dope.
Yeah, he's fun. I like that.
From Light Organ, Charlie Kerr, who, I mean, he's in the band Hotel Mira.
Yeah.
And I think Light Organ was supporting him with that latest release, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to Best Live Music Venue, Vogue Theater tops that slot.
Nice.
always sweet.
Mm-hmm.
The Orpheum Theater and the Commodore Ballroom come in second and third there.
Best live venue for Medium Club, Rickshaw Theater, Imperial Vancouver, and Fortune Sound Club.
I think we'd have to agree with that one.
Nice, yeah, mm-hmm. Great picks.
Honestly, the Rickshaw, that was so much fun. Mm-hmm. We ended up doing a little showcase there back in July, and it was just like...
Mo's great.
Yeah, awesome dude. Probably, one of the super chillest dudes out there. Mm-hmm. Really fantastic guy, and great to work with as well.
Yeah, I love that room. Stage is great, sound is great.
The fact that they have a projector, they have got three projectors there, also awesome.
That helps.
I saw, I didn't catch the entire thing, but Travis, you were there too. It was the Rickshaw's, is it 10-year anniversary show?
Something like that,
And they had a whole cool, like, psychedelic projection going on, visual thing. It was pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Finally, for the best live music venue for the small club, the Biltmore Cabaret tops that one, along with the Railway Stage and Beer Cafe and the Fox Cabaret. All mm-hmm. great venues as well.
I feel like we can go smaller.
We could think about some smaller spaces.
That small venue, the Snug.
There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
We got to enter that in.
For next year.
Second place, Avant Garden.
I still haven't been to the Fox.
Still haven't been to the Fox?
Never been.
Oh.
I don't know why.
We got to take you there once.
You know what's so weird? I haven't either.
Wow.
Okay. I thought I was the only one.
I'm with you there.
Are you guys down for usually they have their like 90s or 2000s throwback parties? It's pretty sweet.
Okay, yeah, I'd be into that.
I mean, not for everybody, but...
my fanny pack?
Yeah, there you go. Listen to all the old hits.
Mm.
Always a fun time. Moving down the list here, we're looking at the best local band that's signed. Mother Mother takes that spot at number one.
Nice.
They just released a new single, which is pretty catchy and pretty upbeat. I saw them also live at Skookum, and they killed that show as well. It was awesome. Second place is Said the Whale, also in the midst of doing a record.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just finishing that one up. I'm excited. I know they played a couple of new songs, right, at Skookum.
Mm-hmm.
And, looking forward to hearing what's new from them. And finally, in third is Hey Ocean, another stellar local act.
All right. And then best local band unsigned. First place is the Boom Booms.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing live show.
I think we'll be looking at having them on the show pretty soon coming up here as
November?
Well. November? Yeah, looking at November ahead of their show at the Commodore, which I believe is second week of November. Which is going to be super, super dope.
Yeah. Second place, Queer as Funk.
I actually haven't seen them yet, and I really want to.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they play a show at the Fox.
Yes, there we go. That's where we can all go see Queer as Funk at
if
the
they
Fox.
Play a show at the Fox, I have to be there. There's no choice.
Yeah, there we go. It's a must now.
And then in third, Peach Pit.
Also fantastic band.
Yeah, they're doing huge things and...
They actually just sold out the Vogue on the I think October 26th if I'm not mistaken.
That is awesome.
They're playing a show there. Yeah, no, they gotta say they've been doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Just tons of touring and stuff, and I'm looking forward to hearing a follow up to their first record, I should say.
And that's the news.
All right,
lots of great news.
Lots of great news indeed.
All right, on to the concerts.
So, Sunday, October 7th, immediately after our show in the Persephone Snug here at Save on Meats, you can see
Danger Tree.
Danger Tree is, they are, that doesn't sound right.
No, that's the next show.
That is the next show.
The next line is a completely different show.
Okay, yeah. So you can check out
Danger Tree.
Danger Tree here tonight, I should say, at the Persephone Snug.
Yeah.
It's by donation. It's just a sweet little intimate set. Tons of fun and super chill. Also, great beer.
Yeah.
I can second that.
Oh, this Mocha Porter Stout Brew the Change.
It's good, hey?
It's great. Yeah. Tastes like my three favorite things, so.
All encompassed in one beverage. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
All right. Also tonight, the Unified are having their EP release show at Guilt & Company.
Monday, October 8th, we got Sail with Kings at the Roxy with the Lovely Bones and Wrecked Beach.
Tuesday, October 9th, Cassidy Waring is at the Wise Hall.
And jumping down to Thursday, October 11th, IMUR is having an EP release show at Fortune Sound Club. That's going to be a fantastic show. I'm looking forward to hopefully going down there on Thursday. It's going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next up, the Roxy Launch Project Round 5, featuring the Oak Stones, Garden Mice, Good Boy, and the Noodle Boys.
Also rad. Mm-hmm. Lamb's Breath is going to be doing a show at the Railway with the Jared Tyler Band, also on October 11th.
Mm-hmm. The Wild North is at the Biltmore, and we'll be having a live music video shoot that night, too.
That's going to be pretty sweet.
Nice. So if you want to be kind of YouTube famous,
you know, you can point it out in that 1 second scene.
Yeah,
as you're rocking out to...
Those are always so much fun, though. Everyone gets into it. And...
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a great way to kind of, like...
Yeah.
Get... You don't want to be caught on camera standing still, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Get involved. Yeah. Totally.
That's fun.
Finally, Friday, October 12th, we got Best in Vancouver Night 3 at the Railway Club. Performers include Ludic, One Sexy Chokehold, Derek Pitts and the Bullets, and Mudfunk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be another great show.
Yeah, Black Pontiac is releasing an EP at 333 with Mind Offline, Elise's, and the Lunchtime Band.
Sweet. And on Saturday, we've got Her Brothers are having an album release show at PAL Vancouver. Paraville will also be performing that night.
Mm-hmm. Head to the Railway to see Rampant Lion, Cobra Ramon, and the Deep Cove.
Tons of stuff happening actually Saturday. We got Phono Pony and the Intelligence Service. They're opening up for Mystic Braves at the Astoria.
Real Poncho is having an album release show at the Rickshaw with guest Tremblers of Sevens.
The Last Forest is at the Backstage Lounge with Marge and Dance on Plants.
And then Emma Curry and Cassie Kay are at the Roxy.
Super, super wicked.
Nice.
All right, moving on to our first headliner this week. This comes from Vancouver Island-based swoon rock artist Alexandria Mayo. This track is the lead single off of Mayo's upcoming sophomore album, Benevolence. And it perfectly captures her signature blend of southern rock, old-school country, and alternative rock. This is Make It Out.
And welcome back to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Make It Out by Alexandria Mayo.
You got it, yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
Great pronunciation.
Thank you. I took classes on last name pronunciation.
There we go.
Anyway, that was a lie. This week's Pacific Sound profile is on Jeff Ojeda. Jeff has been working to promote and manage artists for over 10 years as founder and creative director of Harmonic Concepts, and more recently as a artist manager for Phase Management. To date, Phase Management has previously worked with the New Electric and currently works with the alt dance pop band Written Years and the Calgary-based electronic art act Crowns. Please welcome Jeff Ojeda.
What's up, guys? Hey, how are you?
Great.
What an introduction. I'm flattered.
That was
that
was really descriptive. Nice work.
Yeah. Nice work, James.
Yeah, I think James creeped you out. Well, I guess creeped you on the internet, I should say.
Yeah.
Discovered all of your dark secrets there.
Yeah. He does a lot of research. He's really great at getting all the questions and stuff and
all that fun stuff.
All that fun stuff. Yes. So anyways, how did you get your start in the music industry? And let's start with that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here in this beautiful space, and the beer is delicious. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So my start in music, I mean, I kind of have a similar story to most people that get themselves involved in the industry. In my early days, you know, I was obsessed with playing guitar, started a band, recorded music, went through the motions, and then worked towards, you know, with that band releasing music. And after going to bed a few times, I think what I realized is that I fell in love with the process of actually releasing music and the business around it. And I realized really quickly I didn't want to be the guy on stage, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was a big turning point. Disbanded the band and started as a guitar tech for a local band that was doing quite well at the time. They were just breaking out with a single on radio and stuff. And so I just decided, I was like, you know what? I want to continue that music story, continue doing what I'm doing, but I need to actually go and understand what the industry is about and go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a couple of years and toured with bands like Marianas Trench and did shows with like Simple Plan and Plain White Tees and a bunch of stuff that was way out of my league. But it was awesome, and it was so eye-opening to see bands operate on, you know, such a big level and what their sort of day-to-day processes are like. Yeah, so anyway, I was on the road. I needed to make money because I was not making money on the road. And so I downloaded an illegal version of Photoshop. And that, honestly, was the start of Harmonic Concepts. I started doing MySpace pages back then for musicians, and things mm-hmm. actually exploded quite quickly. And all of that interest, Harmonic Concepts blew up, and I went off the road because, you know, I was chasing that success, and it was a lot of fun. And I have been doing that now for 7 years or so. And I found myself quickly, you know, started working with local bands and, found myself working with names like Florida Georgia Line, Keisha Shante, Nickelback, some pretty big players. So that was really, really cool. And I'm so thankful for that. Anyway, and as I was going through the whole Harmonic thing, my heart was still in music, and I was finding that I kept going back to, you know, from graphic design to music. And so I started an internship at a local management company and just started learning the ropes and seeing what it was like to be a manager. And you know, fast forward to where we are today, I am now full-time management and doing very few selective design and branding jobs, just because that's where my passion is. But yeah, that's kind of the story, guys.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great story.
Damn. Mm-hmm. To kind of walk us through kind of the process when you, started, like Harmonic Concepts, like, you know, bands would often reach out to you, or were you reaching out to bands?
Well, at the beginning, I honestly reached out to bands. I came off the road on that big tour with festivals and all the, you know, big headliner marquee names. And I went to a local band that isn't quite as active these days, Faber Drive, a pop band. And I basically said, hey, if you guys let me, can I design a MySpace page and build it for you for free? And so they were like, yeah, sure, do it. You know, I'm convinced they didn't think they were going to use it. I'm convinced that they thought it was going to be crap. Yeah. And yeah, so they ended up using it, and that really brought a lot of attention to me. And then I started networking, you know, of course, with their management company, who was then, you know, managing other artists, and the kind of pond started rippling that way, right?
Expanded from there.
Yeah, but honestly, like, the biggest thing right now, as a manager or as anyone that does anything in music, my turning point was when I disbanded my band and started helping other artists. And that's the biggest thing. Like, the only way that you can get into music is you have to bring value to independent artists. You have to bring value to the people that need it, right? And need that support. And yeah, I just completely, you know, focusing on my own band, my own music, my own tours and all that shit, I completely stopped. And I was like, no, this isn't me. I got to go help people because I somewhat know what I'm doing. Now let me go and try to apply it. Yeah, and that was a massive turning point and something I live by every day now.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think we can mostly relate to that too. Just, you know, growing up playing in bands and stuff and then, yeah, not exactly realizing that, or I guess running into the struggle of, like, you know, not quite connecting or not quite finding that right person to, you know, take you to that next level as a band. And it wasn't until I think we started doing the podcast here where then things started to shift a little bit more and started being able to, like, connect and stuff as well. So that was a really good point. And that's cool that that still actually that worked for you too at that time as well.
Yeah,
totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what's your background in graphic design and marketing? I understand you took studio arts at Capilano.
I did. And if I were to have done school now, I probably would have done it a little differently. I honestly took painting and ceramics. So I was doing absolutely nothing to benefit my career. I was just having fun doing art. I've always loved visual arts. And yeah, like I said, I feel like I kind of cheated my way to working in this crazy environment with all these big names and labels and stuff because I downloaded Photoshop and I was like, fuck, I am not making any money and rent's coming out and I need to fix this. And so yeah, that's kind of how I did it. No schooling.
Yep. So
stay in school, kids.
all self-taught on in regards to like Photoshop and everything like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I'm a very ambitious and tenacious individual, and yeah, I just put my head down and figured it out.
Mm-hmm. I think you kind of have to be when it comes to the industry, especially the music industry itself. Too.
Oh, totally.
And even, I'm sure like design as well.
Yeah, and just a lot of business in general. Like you're. But to be able to grow your business and what you do, I mean, you just gotta, you know, like, and as a band too, you just gotta say yes and then figure it out. Even if you don't feel prepared for it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Back on to harmonic concepts. What separates harmonic concepts from the other digital marketing and design firms?
Specialization, understanding how marketing and music really works. And also understanding, like, I've spent, you know, my whole life following different artists and understanding, you know, the cultures behind all the different genres of music. So coming into, you know, working with any band now, it's really easy or much easier for me to bring, you know, the knowledge that I've kind of built through time and put the right teams and people together to make, you know, whatever it is we're working on come to life. So simple answer to that is just knowing the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What have been some of the most notable projects you've that, and the Jaden.
Here, I'll take it. Yeah. So what have been some of your kind of most notable projects in harmonics concepts or with harmonic concepts, I should say?
Yeah, good question. I mean,
Was Florida Georgia Line prior to that, or was that kind of part of that as well?
No, it was definitely a part of that. I started working with Florida Georgia Line, or Brian and Tyler, before they were FGL actually, and started, it kind of kickstarted their brand and helped them, you know, with little things like, you know, advising on their creative and doing, you know, single artwork for a song that they put out called Cruise, which ended up, you know, it is the second most successful song in country music history.
That's pretty incredible.
It's mm-hmm. wild, man. And to see an act go from nothing and playing dive bars and doing, you know, just going through the motions to selling out stadiums and taking over the world. They have a liquor brand now. They have, like, it's wild. And just seeing that empire grow, it's so cool.
It just, it makes it so much bigger than just, like, you know, being an artist when you've got all of that too, like
totally.
The full brand and stuff.
Yeah, and their manager Chief and Seth, they're really smart. They're really brilliant guys, and they know, you know, they understand that their artist is doing something really good for the culture of country music listeners, right? And they're always pushing the envelope and doing something different. And it might not be everyone's cup of tea as far as, you know, what they're doing in country, but, you know, clearly it's doing okay.
totally. So describe kind of, you know, you're working with a band for the first time in terms mm-hmm. of like harmonic concepts. Can you walk us through a little bit of the process of, you know, what are the kind of important things you look for in helping a band kind of develop a new brand or image?
Yeah, actually, and this is kind of a good transition because harmonic concepts right now, I'm not necessarily focused on growing that business and facilitating, you know, bigger intake.
Right.
I'm just being selective because my acts are busy right now. And like on the management side. So I only really take on things that I really feel super passionate about and that I see potential with. But the things that I look for, I mean, it starts with a conversation. It starts seeing, you know, where they're at, what their goals are, you know, where they might have holes in their current structure, you know, if they're not getting a lot of attention on Spotify or whatever it might be, or having a hard time getting live shows. I usually can go in with a holistic understanding of where the band is and be able to kind of advise and point them in the right direction. So the transition I'm getting to is that I found that with my experience in harmonic concepts and doing the management side now, there's much more of a need for consulting. And that's a lot of, you know, my kind of where I've put a bit of my time and attention is, you know, taking consultation with local artists that, you know, want to have a discussion about what they can do better. So that's kind of been, honestly, that's been really what's taken my time and where my passion is.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So not just branding and design, but like completely seeing a 360 perspective around the artist and seeing, you know, like I was just saying, seeing where the holes are, seeing where you can improve and helping them, you know, take those steps.
Totally. So with that too, obviously you have the majority of the background in, you know, design and all of that as well. How did you end up getting kind of the other parts? Was that just, you know, learning while on tour, while teching, while just being in a band?
Yeah. You know what? All of the above. I think to be a really great manager, you need to understand what the artist does day to day. And you know, I'm coming at this now with live performance from a small to massive festival experience, the branding side, just making sure that before I went and signed my first artist, that I had the best fucking toolbox possible so that I'm making good decisions. 'Cause that's my job. I'm making decisions on behalf of an artist and, you know, they're big decisions and this is their career and they're entrusting in me. So I better know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, for anyone out there that wants to get into management, just get what the artist is doing. Go mm-hmm. into the studio with them, figure out their environment because you need to understand them.
Yeah. So, what made you decide to get into artist management per se?
Like,
transition.
Good question. I honestly, I feel like I was born for it. It's just some, like I've tried many things. I've done the road thing. I've tour managed. I've done all sorts of different angles in music that support music. And you know what I found I'm ultimately most passionate about is management.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Kind of jumping off of that a little bit, can you give us a bit of a snapshot of, because you're working with two artists right now, correct?
Correct.
Through phase management. So give us a little rundown about the Written Years as well as they're now named Crowns, correct?
No, so I have two artists. One is called Crowns, and they're based out of Calgary. So they're not local, but they are Canadian. And they're more of an alternative rock commercial project. And then the other act that is Vancouver-based, they're called Written Years. And they're more on the indie pop, alternative sort of... They're really, really cool. I'm so stoked to have them on my side now.
That's awesome.
But yeah, just between those two, they're keeping me busy, and I'm in the process of signing my third artist, which thankfully is a female solo artist.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So yeah, I can't speak too much on that, but
so that's in the works.
That's mm-hmm. in the works. Yeah, we're mid discussion. So yeah.
Any difficulties managing a band in Calgary from here, or do you go?
Not really. You know, I would have thought, I mean, that was, working with these guys from Crowns, I've been working with them for over 6 years now. And like you were mentioning in the introduction, some of the members were a part of a previous project called The New Electric. So we did that for a couple of years, and it wasn't right. It wasn't what Kyle wanted to write or what he was writing. So pulled the plug on that and let him just, you know, get creative and do his thing. And so he came up with Crowns. So that whole, the whole 6 years or so that we've been, you know, working together, he's been in Calgary and I've been here, and it's been fine. Mm-hmm. I think we're pretty digitally connected these days. So I'm not sure.
It's
really
amazing
matters.
What you can do with that, right?
Yeah. The only thing that screws us up is, believe it or not, well, not so much Calgary because it's 1 hour difference, but dealing with Toronto, I find myself starting to get into emails and work about 6:30 in the morning these days, mm-hmm. just to make sure, you know, I'm on East Coast time and making sure that I'm getting everything to that side of the continent in time.
Yeah, so I guess jumping into kind of some of the challenges there, it's just like dealing with time change, and are you often traveling as well when it comes to artist management, or mostly just it's all kind of from, you know, your place kind of thing?
Kind of a bit of both. This environment, you're definitely working all the time, and you are, you know, traveling a lot. Way more than I would be traveling just doing graphic design and stuff, because that you could just do at home. But yeah, I'm definitely traveling a lot more now these days. More of the hubs than anything, like LA, Toronto, you know, stop in Calgary every now and then when I have to. No. No, Calgary's fun. But yeah, it's, you kind of travel and work lots, and it's fun.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, personally, I love traveling and just being able to work on the fly and stuff. It's always just a blast.
Yeah, totally.
Feels so businessy too.
Yeah. What are some of the skills you learned from Harmonic Concepts that have helped you with phase management?
Yeah, good question. I think that's honestly what is a big part of what makes me, my differentiating quality as a manager is that I know branding far better than most managers in this country, just because I've had to sit there and physically do it and build it and succeed doing it on my own. I think that's a big part of it. That's pretty well it. Just because Harmonic is so branding focused, I think it mm-hmm. really brings a lot of, you know, when I'm working on releasing music with any one of my artists, I know how long it'll take to, you know, put together a video piece or design piece or lyric video or whatever it is. I understand the mechanics of, you know, being there, making it. So I guess that helps me keep organized.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was actually going to ask as well, kind of, I guess more specifically, what are kind of some key services and deliverables that you can offer a band or artist that is kind of looking for management?
Right. So management is tricky because you're basically creating small family groups, right? Any artist that I manage, it's really close connection. We keep in really close communication, and it's a very one-on-one sort of environment. And a part of who I am always wants to give back to the community. So I'm a starting point is the consultations. That is a bit of an open door. I have kind of reduced the amount that I've taken on now, but with these consultations, it's like a 1 hour Skype or phone call, and I give an artist a questionnaire so I can completely fine tune the conversation around what they need help on. And I find that every single consultation, every artist is like, holy shit, I learned 10 times more than I thought I would. And they've been going so, so well. And most artists are coming back and scheduling second, third consultation. So that makes me feel really great. That is one option. I mean, putting it out there now, if there are independent acts that are needing that sort of thing, phasemgmt.com, you can get in touch and we can discuss things from there. But yes, I am working in the new year on creating a service that will be more accessible, to your average independent artist, where I can offer a lot of the connectivity and the relationships and understanding and everything that I'm doing already. There's a capacity to do that for more people, and I'm working on figuring that out.
That's awesome though. But, so you've kind of centered it down kind of just to a template where you can kind of get all the, I guess, information you need out of a potential client or a client.
Yeah, yeah, and just understanding. I mean, every artist is, or every band and artist, they're all in different places, and they all have a very unique sort of situation happening. So I think it's critical for me to ask them first, what are you all about? Where are your weaknesses? Where are your strengths? And so that I can actually make sure that I'm not just giving them a generic, bullshit sort of like, hey, go look at your streams on Spotify. It's actually, properly tailored to something that's going to help their career.
Yeah, for sure. What do you look for in a potential client?
Management side?
Mm-hmm.
Good question. I mean, right now we're in a world where social media makes, such a difference. So number one, I mean, it's a definite, make or break for me. If you're not good or willing to properly manage your social profile and put the time in, no thanks. There's no way I'm taking on an artist that's not going to put the work in there.
Have you ever run into that challenge during a consultation or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. Most artists aren't putting enough out there because they don't understand what they want, what they should be putting out there. A lot of people just sit there and go, fuck, what am I, I have to post something on social media, but what now? Because mm-hmm. they didn't put planning in place beforehand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to be great at social media. You have to have some sort of musical talent, obviously. And you just have, you have to have, for an artist to break through, there has to be an intrinsic quality to who they are that can be turned into a message that we can project. So it has to be an authentic piece of a piece of the cloth of the fabric, where the artist is cut from, that has to be defined. Because if an artist is just writing music about relationships they've never had or, this and that, it just never connects well enough. And that's something that I really acutely look for. Do you know who you are and what message are you sending?
Right, especially, when it comes to making music and stuff, looking for that emotional kind of attachment or that... Or you're looking for that kind of, for it to be more genuine, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah. We're in the business of selling emotional connectivity. Bottom line. How are you and your stories and songs touching people emotionally? That's the only way you truly organically grow a following is if people fall for what you're doing and love what you're doing. The only way that comes across is if it's real.
Organic, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Non-GMO.
Non-GMO.
There you go, yeah.
Maybe gluten-free.
Maybe.
Potentially vegan or not. So I guess that kind of falls in line as well with this next question. Is like, what are some best practices as a band or artist who is looking for management? What can they do to kind of set themselves up before approaching an artist manager such as yourself?
Good question. I mean, I think this kind of depends on what kind of artist or band you are. I think for the most part, I mean, a manager needs to come in on a project when there's some momentum happening, right? Without that, it's a massive time and risk, like time commitment and risk for managers to take on developing artists, right? So you want to make sure that there's something happening. Because that'll eliminate the risk and make it easier for us to jump through the hoops and find success. I think, you know, artists just have to know who they are. They have to be performing actively or show that they have a really strong catalog, maybe of unreleased music. You know, that's a big thing. What can I do with this music that hasn't been released? Or they have to have a strong enough organic following. And those are things that every local artist can do on their own, you know, like we rely a lot on social media at the same time with building interpersonal relationships. Like a lot of people now, a lot of artists are just inviting their fans on Facebook and calling that a, you know, successful effort. That's not real. Everyone gets invited to shit. No one cares. Go and personally message these people and ask them to come. Like you gotta do the groundwork. And if an artist is, you know, obviously displaying that they're working hard and thinking outside the box, not just doing the bare minimum. That's really attractive to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Like, I get a whole bunch of Facebook invites, and it's like...
These are exciting, but...
But if somebody takes the time to send me a message or in person, say, hey, come out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's almost with, like,
totally.
The personal... It's almost like with the digital age now, you need the personability, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out of and trying to recreate that connection, even though I guess it sometimes might be easier, take less time just to simply hit that invite button on Facebook or something.
Exactly. Well, I mean, because from my perspective too, I mean, I'm getting invited and personally invited and whatever to a lot of different shows, right? And if an artist invites me on Facebook and then they message me going, "Oh, you didn't make it out," I'm like,
got like 60 other of these.
So I didn't make it out this time, and I might not make it out next time because you're clearly not getting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do the groundwork. Bands, go out there and start talking to people. Show up to networking events. Subtle plug, Music BC is fucking awesome. It is such a great resource. And not only the ability to, you know, get funding and whatever else it is, they put on events in the city that actually connect people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the like, I tell this to my bands all the time. The first step to succeeding is showing up. And people aren't showing up anymore because they're relying on the social activity to kind of float them through because it's easy. Mm-hmm. Show up to shit. Join Music BC and be a part of the community.
Yeah, it makes such a big difference, too. And you meet people that you wouldn't necessarily think that you'd meet, too, such as, artist managers.
You know what?
Stuff.
We met just through one of those events. So.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's super, super cool.
Shifting gears a little bit to the other side, what's one big piece of advice you'd give to somebody who's looking to pursue a career in graphic design or artist management?
Haha, okay. I will tackle graphic design first.
All right.
Graphic design is a skill, a trade. It is something you can learn. It is something you can understand and produce quite easily. So you got to really if you love visual art, you have to do a deep dive into like your own style and figuring out what it is that makes you different. Because it's easy to just get thrown, just like any job. You know, it's easy to apply for a job, you know, make $20 an hour for the next 5 years or whatever it is, and just be an employee number in this massive corporation. The difference in, you know, being able to do something that's going to build a career for you as a designer, you have to completely be a disruptor. You have to go, like I said, go into music and find a weakness and do it better. And that's just one angle. I mean, you can go and do this with anyone, like real estate, your realtors or whatever. You can go into any industry and just do a better job than someone else, and you'll eventually be looked at. Artist management side, if I were to advise anyone going into management now, I would say understand reading data, and really spend time understanding the relationship between numbers, and do a great job of keeping track of that shit, like hourly or daily or whatever floats your boat. But you have to become statistically obsessed, because that is the future. And if you're not, well, you and so many people in this industry are about to get plucked out because they don't understand that. And that's just the way that the industry is headed. So, yeah, do your homework.
It's all about the data, right?
Yeah, just get into it. Be a nerd for a little bit and just dive into numbers and just understand it, you know? The more you keep up with it, the better you'll be at making decisions for your artists once you do have them, because you'll know where to invest, you'll know where not to invest, and it'll be very clear how to measure your success once you understand what you're looking at.
Definitely agree on that. Yeah, no, that's some great advice. Makes a lot of sense. So kind of finally, as we're slowly wrapping this up a bit, for you personally, what do you think makes the Vancouver music scene unique?
Good question. I think the past 2 years, there has been such, maybe 3 years even, it's really turned around, which is excellent. I mean, we did lose a bunch of venues a while ago, but the quality of the shows that are happening at a smaller level are better, and there seems to be more strength in the industry overall. What makes us unique? Well, for one thing, being in BC and being in Canada is a massive advantage, because we have funding. And a lot of artists are, you know, say they play rock, like active rock. They're, you know, a lot of them just complain of being like, hey, yeah, we're not making it, but if we were in Seattle, we'd be huge or whatever. But it's like, no, all of those territorial barriers don't exist anymore. We can release music worldwide now. Like, that argument is completely invalid. So take advantage. If you're from BC and you're from Canada, really go after all the funding opportunities. And our overall scene is building. So go and make friends. Show up to their shows. Shake their hands, you know, and maybe create a network of three bands and go, hey, if you go to our shows, we'll come to yours, and build your own scene, you know, get each other's backs. And if you guys start working, fuck, you can tour together, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about thinking, specifically in Vancouver. I mean, we have so much variety of great talent. We've got funding, we've got venues, we've got a lot happening. There's a buzz happening here. But the artists and the bands should create more of a community together. And I think that's going to be, you know, if we can look forward, that's going to be something that's going to really strengthen our community.
I think that's definitely something that we're hoping to kind of promote as well through the radio here and through podcast.
I just want to say this is awesome. You guys are doing this.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so flattering.
No, it's just so cool. And you guys are coming into this scenario, building a profile for the local community, and it's absolutely fucking awesome. Need more of this.
Absolutely. And it's just some of the talent here, first of all, that's kind of one, the number one reason too, is just like, it's unbelievable, and it should be showcased more. And we hope to hopefully bring that along with others who are doing some amazing stuff in the community. When you mentioned kind of like building up your own scene, I was thinking kind of like the DIY scene that has kind of made a little space for itself in Vancouver as well, which is super cool. Speaking of artists and bands and stuff and building up a scene and all that, kind of what are some of your favorite local acts? Obviously, Written Years.
Shameless plug, Written Years. Yeah, we're in the process. They're writing right now, and we're going to be releasing new music in the new year, and there's some really, really great songs. So
please send us some stuff.
Okay, well, I can do that.
We'll set something
up. I can do that. Yeah, so look out for them. But I just went to the Vancouver International Film Festival, and there were a few great showcases there. Who did I see? John Bryant. He's putting out a new record. With Nigel Aslin producing.
Yeah, we actually just visited Nigel at his studio a little while ago. We were working on some stuff with him. So that's,
great guy. Mm-hmm. So he was amazing. Just a fucking world class vocalist, amazing performer. Another band that I really dig right now is Des Ormes.
Okay, cool.
Have you heard of them?
The name sounds really familiar.
They're wild, man. Yep. They're super cool. Check them out. They're doing some good stuff. I think they're touring Germany relatively frequently too, and they're like 19, 20 years old.
That's awesome.
Just killing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's super rad. So finally, how can listeners learn more about all the work you're doing?
Well, you can find me on social media at Jeff Ojeda. So JeffOjeda, and my company is Phase Management, and most of my social accounts are Phase Music Management or Phase Music MGMT or phasemgmt.com. That's an easy one.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Really appreciate you doing this and spending some time with us on this lovely rainy Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We'll definitely have to hit up more of these beers. In the meantime... our next headliner single for this episode comes from the alt-pop rockers Fake Shark, brimming with bouncy beats. This banger is bound to make you move. This is Smile.
Yeah. can't make me smile.
That was Smile by Fake Shark. You're listening to the Pacific Sound Radio. My name is Travis Noel, and our featured guest for this week's episode is Danger Tree. Danger Tree are an eclectic musical collective with a sound ranging from gypsy jazz to jam-infused jam rock. Here is The Jaw off of their Strange Thing EP.
Any other day, you left your own mind, but why you didn't stay? You only did. You said goodbye with the Rockies at your feet, whispers of the current's long past their own defeat. Fixed by the horizon, forgot what home was like. Flew across the Badlands into its canine. Oh, the jaw it had a hold on what you couldn't find. You only could discover that love comes blind. Love comes blind. Oh, love comes blind. Love comes blind. The moon had changed the tide. She caught you in a movement where orbits did collide. And the universe exploded and love got lost in time. Lost in line. Oh, yes. Love's lost and it's blind. Lost in line. Yes, love's lost and blind.
Listening to Pacific Sound Radio. My name is Jaden, filling in for Mr. James Olson today. And beside me, I got Travis.
Travis, that's me.
And equally beside us, we've got a fantastic band. This is Danger Tree. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves first? So we can get some introductions going on here.
We sure do. My name is Kale Beaudry. And
my name is Jesse Bentley.
And what do you guys play?
I, Cale Beaudry, play the guitar, and up until this point I've been writing a lot of the songs, and...
I am the drummist for this band.
Drummist, I dig it.
Jesse's a drummist.
Fantastic. And how did the band come together?
I'd say through natural occurrences. I was a tree planter and thought the name Danger Tree was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And then
I thought that was a really, you know, nice segue into the realm of creativity. And I had all these songs. And just over the course of knowing Jesse here and our bassist, Jeff Child, just started playing together. And they thought they could make our songs sound a little bit better.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. When were the seeds for Danger Tree planted?
The seeds for Danger Tree were first planted. Sorry, Jaden, it looked like Ed.
Oh, no, totally. Go ahead. I thought we were refraining from puns today, but I guess we aren't. So we're gonna go full steam ahead with that.
It's a pun zone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd say the seeds of Danger Tree were planted long ago. And I don't know. I've always been writing songs even before I could really play guitar. Even when I was first learning how to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And as I evolved as a player, songwriter, so did the songs, and eventually it was just mashed by people who could really make them sound great.
And how did you guys all get connected together? Like through tree planting, through other forms?
Well, I moved into Vancouver in 2013, I'll say, and pretty much met Jeff and Jesse immediately, and then over the course of months ended up getting to know each other, realized we actually liked one another.
Always a good thing.
And that was actually the foundation for us doing what we're doing now. We just become friends.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, no, it seems to work out well.
Yeah, you gotta branch out and with friendships and
just...
That was another pun. That was it.
Oh my goodness.
He's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Deep
yeah,
roots,
we're
real deep roots. With
that's right. That's
there
right.
You go.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, I guess next, if we're keeping the puns going here, oh my gosh, would you say the band is still a sapling, or has the band grown into a mature tree at this point?
I'd say we're like, as far as the growth of a tree is concerned, we're somewhere in between sapling and mature. We've only really been together we've been committed as a three-piece for just over a year.
Nice.
Just been watering that stuff, man.
I appreciate that you guys are down with this.
I feel like if you climbed the danger tree right now, like, it would bend. There would be significant bending to the tree, but it's still deeply rooted.
There we go. Connected into the earth.
Yeah. Jesse has articulated that better than I ever could.
It's amazing.
Definitely. I'm just distracted by the limo unloading right in front of us.
Yeah, this is your limo, right? Yeah. This is how you guys arrived and are now departing?
Yeah, but there's a bunch of people in it. I don't know what they're doing there.
Taking selfies and stuff. Always fun time. Anyways, a little refocusing here. Would you say the band is still... Danger Tree.
Mid-sapling.
Yeah. Danger Tree draws from a number of different musical stylings. How would you describe your sound to listeners?
Oh, it's a mishmash for sure. I started playing an electric guitar, and that just inherently brought a more rock sensibility. I call it indie rock because it's the easiest way to summarize that mishmash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But as far as influences go, there's old classic rock, there's gypsy jazz, there's
a little bit of everything.
Kind of a little bit of everything, usually tied together with lyric and melody. I think that's something that is original about the band.
And for you personally, are you often getting drawn to more like melody first as a songwriter, rhythm, lyrically? Like, where do you usually start?
Up until this point, it was mostly, as I said, I had all these songs, and they would come about with me just Yeah, I often have the rhythm or a chord progression, and then I'd have the melody on top of that. That was often how it happened. But now we're bridging more into collaborating as songwriters, and that's kind of the phase we're entering. And I think that's going to be a mix of everything.
That's fantastic, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a little, you know, yeah, just collaboration and just a ton of different, I guess, even more influences than you have had previously as
that's
well,
it.
Which is awesome.
Well, the beautiful thing is Jesse and Jeff have been playing together since they were 14.
Oh, shoot.
14 or 15.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So they have a lot of experience under their belts.
Tons of chemistry as well, I assume, as well. So kind of moving forward here, what would you say makes Danger Tree stand out from other acts in the local folk music ecosystem?
But hey, we're all grinning to that one. We're all grinning.
Oh, man. I wonder who put these questions together. The guy who's conveniently not here today. Oh, anyways. Yeah. What would you say makes Danger Tree stand out?
I mean, I feel like this is one of those questions where you have to tread lightly because you don't want to sound like you're gloating or...
This is actually what this show's all about, is for you to gloat. Yeah.
It's for me, it's that we're the best. You know, like, we're number one. Nobody beats us.
I mean, we could tell by the amount of gold medals around your necks right now.
We dressed appropriately for this sound booth.
Absolutely.
So that's Jesse's answer. I'm sure Jeff would concur.
Myself, bright foliage as well.
Yeah, we actually brought in a dangerous tree.
So do not touch or do not pet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do not feed either.
Oh my goodness.
Otherwise, how is that going to stay dangerous?
Oh gosh.
If I'm going to take the slightly more humble route, I would say that diversity of songwriting, like I'm self-taught. I didn't have a particular style that I, you know, ever spent my hours and hours and hours learning. So I just picked out my influences here and there. And I know that it's the same for Jeff and Jesse. Jesse started off as a metal drummer, right?
True that.
Making the big transition, I guess.
The big transition. Yeah, they're just well-rounded guys. My songs have been well-rounded in the sense that some will sound a little folkier, some will sound like a gypsy jazz song, some will sound straight-up rock. And I think that variety brings something different.
That's fantastic. So you describe your influences as the sounds of the wanderer, the music of the bohemian. They compose the story of eyes awakening to countless new landscapes of souls that wish to tell their tale. Sounds pretty pretty deep, which I am intrigued by, definitely.
The hell does that mean?
Yeah, we want to know, can you explain kind of what that means and where you kind of drew that from?
I mean, my life has been a particularly transient one. Especially in my 20s, between tree planting. Tree planting was the thing that really opened those doors to a more seasonal lifestyle. Generally, as a traveler, I have seen a lot of landscapes. I have seen a lot of horizons. Jesse and I rode our bikes across BC last year. I carried on to Halifax.
That's crazy. Wow.
We've done, I don't know, we've just pushed that envelope and sought inspiration in other places, and I think that has been reflected in the lyricism, and I don't know, they're just kind of, it's more philosophical, kind of cerebral.
Hey, that's fantastic. Well, speaking of the way you describe your songs, we would actually love to hear one. Would you guys be up to doing an acoustic number?
Absolutely not.
No? All right, let's move on.
This has been Danger Tree.
This has been Danger Tree.
Can I take off the...
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I'm going to sidle up here.
And if you want to just ensure that you Let's put the mic a little bit closer to your mouth, Kale.
Boom. Does that work?
Yeah, do we want to lean it a little more further, a little closer?
And then we'll get yours. Throw it down there.
So listeners at home, we are trying to work in a very confined space. Want to do the jaw?
Sure.
It was a day like any other day. You left your home behind, but why you didn't stay? You only did. You said goodbye with the Rockies at your feet, whispers of the currents long past their own defeat. Your head held high. Fixed by the horizon, you forgot what home was like. Flew across the badlands into its canines. Oh, the jaw, it had a hold on what you couldn't find. You only could discover that love comes blind. Love comes blind. Oh, love comes blind. Love comes blind. Comes blind. Oh yes, it's so blind. Sure you fell upon the doorstep, you must have lost your stride. Change directions, the moon had changed the tide. She caught you in a movement where your orbits did collide, and the universe exploded, and love got lost in time, lost and blind. Oh, yes, love's lost and it's blind, lost and blind. Yes, love's lost. Blind, lost in blind. Oh yes, it's so blind. Your vision isn't helping. Vision isn't helping much. Maybe you're just out of time.
That was fantastic. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio, and we just heard, this is that number called The Draw?
The Jaw.
The Jaw from Danger Tree. So you guys, your first two EPs, you worked with two different producers, Ben Rowley on your self-titled EP and Mark Henning for Strange Thing.
That's right.
What did Ben and Mark individually offer as collaborators on each of these releases?
What did they offer?
Yeah.
Well, Ben is a good friend of mine, and was open to taking my songs for the first time and helping them, I don't know, helping flesh them out into feeling like real full productions. I'd never done it before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What was that experience like, kind of just working with a producer for, I guess, the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Then
affirming. It felt like, I felt safe and supported, which was an asset for somebody who had never done something like that before. Ben is a really good friend, had a studio called Fiend Recordings.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, got to see the first of my songs come to life in a professional setting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then Mark Henning is my current roommate. He worked in a lot of the big name studios in the 90s and 2000s, and I turned the basement of the house I'm living in now into a jam space slash recording studio.
Oh, wow.
And so I moved in, and I thought I absolutely have to take advantage of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, living and being able just to jump down and play in a studio, it's pretty amazing.
That's it. It wouldn't have happened otherwise, just because I came back from this cross-Canada tour and, you know, was intending on coming back to Vancouver full-time, which meant that I had to figure some stuff out.
Right, right.
And so, financially speaking, had I gone to a full-fledged studio and
That's always the challenge, right? Is like, you know, how much can you do on your own versus, you know, how much am I willing to spend for maybe a bigger studio?
Yeah.
So with that, did you run into any challenges when recording in terms of just, you know, working in like a basement or just a jam space and recording in there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's other people that live there. So it requires some very fine scheduling, making sure that you take advantage of the time that you've got. Also just I guess hopping into the recording without really, you know, I wasn't anticipating it moving back, so there was not as much time to prepare myself mentally.
I see. Okay.
But apart from it, like it went really well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds great. Mm-hmm. Both those EPs sound awesome. So conversely, you also worked with Brock McFarland, and he mastered both of your releases. What does Brock bring to the table with his role as the mastering engineer?
I just appreciate that guy's professionalism and I mean, with that initial debut EP, it was my first time really getting to understand, well, A, everything, but B, right, the mixing and mastering process. And I've worked with Brock a few times since then, and I've gotten to
kind of get a hold on it a little bit more and know what to expect, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's just got he's such a sought-after masterer in the city, and I think he's exposed to a lot of different kinds of music, and that well-roundedness seems to benefit the final product.
Absolutely. And kind of jumping a little bit off of that, kind of walk us through that experience. You know, obviously grew up writing music and stuff. Was there anything particularly kind of surprising about the process of then finally sitting down or like going into a studio and going through that entire process of recording, mixing, mastering, all of that kind of stuff?
Like, what was it like for me?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of walk us through your experience with that, I guess.
Excuse me. I said before, the recording experience was affirming. And I said that because I didn't ever think that this would be where I was at playing music. I didn't think that I'd be playing with other talented people. I didn't think that I'd be here on a radio station. But during a season of doing tree planting and cherry picking, I ended up having some really beautiful reflections from a bunch of people that I met. I was working and living on a cherry picking camp.
Wow.
And decided to throw everything I had against the wall and see what stuck. And so I didn't trust my sense of timing, so I was afraid of the meter.
I feel like there's always some risk in that, really. Yeah. Just like, you know, committing yourself to, you know, I mean, would you call it like a passion of yours with music and everything, and taking that step?
Yeah, I don't know. It was shown to me enough times that I maybe had something to offer, and I just took up the opportunity, and here I am a couple years later.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, it certainly seems like you've seized it with, some of your great songs as well. So,
thanks.
Speaking of recording and everything like that, are you guys planning something new when it comes to the realm of recording and releasing some new stuff?
So I just sent off the first of what I hope to be a couple applications for grants.
Fantastic, yeah.
I just got Factor Out. That was my first experience doing any of that more administrative, technical-based work.
Yeah. Once you really fall into the world of being an artist, then it's like, oh, there's all of these things that I need to know so I can get money to now do these things.
Exactly. I think, you know, considering that we've worked with a shoestring budget for so long, I'm proud of how far we've come. But in order to do something, like, I just want to really... I want to be able to record more songs than what I've been able to do, and do it in a professional setting.
Absolutely.
Again, and just, yeah, just really go for it. And I can't shoulder the financial weight alone anymore.
I find with artists and being an artist or as well, it's always a challenge to kind of weigh that. Are you guys looking at potentially just a new EP or a full length?
Whatever the definition of 7 or 8 songs is.
Fantastic. Really in the middle there.
Yeah, right in the
musical
middle.
Numbering.
Exactly.
It also depends on funding. It depends on
absolutely,
you know, what ends up coming about, but there is intention there.
Fantastic. So kind of moving forward a little bit here. So all of Danger Tree's music videos and live concert videos are available on YouTube under Kale Beaudry Media.
Mm-hmm.
What is your background in film, and how has your skill set assisted the band? Because you're doing some super cool stuff online.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, I'd say we've entered an era where just about everybody needs photos and videos for something, especially musicians. And having that opportunity to, you know, tell people what to do, to convey an idea I have for a music video, and then having them give me all that footage has made it so that I can put some of this stuff together to my liking.
Right. So are you, you're hiring people to shoot, and then you're diving in and doing all the editing and final kind of work on it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fortunate, again, in the sense that that's another realm that I belong in. So I've got, it seems like every videographer wants to be doing music videos, and it ends up becoming more of a passion project. So I've been very lucky to collaborate with people who are just, they like the song or songs, and they've got a really nice camera that they're willing to
lend.
Nice camera and their energy to lend to a bigger project.
That's fantastic. I feel like both those things, film, obviously media, and just content in general goes so well with, obviously, music and,
yes,
you know, all of that kind of stuff.
I heard some statistic recently. I'm not going to... I don't know the number exactly, but it was over 75% of music consumed nowadays is via YouTube.
I believe it is the largest place to consume music. So, yeah, the more content that you can kind of get out on there that involves, you know, obviously your songs and stuff, the... The more people are going to essentially hopefully listen to it as well. Can you tell us about some of the directors and videographers you've worked with on the Danger Tree videos you've released so far?
Yeah. The last one that I think we're all the most excited about was the Strange Thing video, which the narrative was my idea, but it was directed and produced by a guy named Paolo Di Prosecco, who's a camera op in the film industry, and absolutely loves silent film and the silent film era.
That's super cool.
Particularly with Charlie Chaplin. And years ago, I lived beside Paulo, and this was when I was a fledgling photographer, videographer, and he introduced to me Charlie Chaplin and the Tramp characters and got me acting in a few shorts.
Oh, that's fantastic.
His idea.
Nice.
So we decided to bridge the two worlds and create this silent film, Charlie Chaplin-esque music video for Strange Thing.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, it looks great. Was that kind of your start into the world of film and photography, or were you doing stuff of like before then and kind of getting into it before then?
I was doing
then?
Stuff before then, yeah. I didn't get my first camera until I was 21, but had some awesome opportunities within the first 6 months of me having the camera that fast-tracked me in a sense. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's exploded from that period of my life to now.
Okay, cool. And would you say that's your favorite video so far of the Danger Tree kind of music videos that are out there, or do you have a particular favorite, or are they all kind of different?
They're all different. They're all different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, you know, that one incorporated the band, and we just had a blast pretending to be drunk and fighting each other in silent film style.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, pretending.
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 We like to pretend.
Yeah. You mean it wasn't real? It looked so realistic.
So real you could touch it.
Kind of speaking of something a little more real, you recorded your EP release show at the Anza Club using a 360 degree camera, creating an optimal viewing experience for a fan with a VR headset. What made you decide to film your set using this fancy new technology?
So I think I've foreshadowed over the course of this radio slot that I really like not paying as much for things as I can. I think that was foreshadowed.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I recently started using Reddit this year, and somebody posted, his name's George. George posted that he had recently acquired a 360-degree camera and wanted subjects to build a portfolio. And I just happened to read that and send him a message, and yeah, I had this EP release show that was on the way, and I was like, hey man, how do you feel about filming this thing? And he said, that sounds awesome. So
yeah, that, I mean, such a cool, mm-hmm. I feel like VR hasn't quite caught on fully yet, so
no.
Doing something different, and I mean, especially just like eye-catching too, just to be able to kind of view that experience of not only seeing what the band's up to, but also like everybody at the show and all that kind of stuff. So that was definitely a unique take and a great way just to kind of utilize the I guess technology that's here now.
That's it.
Fantastic. So another kind of question: do you think VR live music sets could be the way of the future?
Definitely, especially once they iron out all the creases.
Yeah, were there any challenges in filming that, like when you were working and setting all that kind of stuff up?
Fortunately, with me, the responsibility was out of my hands.
Right.
I was, you know, busy worrying about whether people were going to show up.
Right. Focused on the gig.
Focus
totally.
On the gig, making sure I said hello and thank you to everybody who walked in the door. But I think on George's end, you know, there was some. Apparently, it took like 25 hours to render.
Oh my
gosh!
And
he had to stitch it all together because it's essentially 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think it might be 7 to 9 cameras. Might be 9 cameras.
Just all in one.
It's like
basically?
This floating, not floating. It's this black orb.
Yeah.
That he put right in the middle of the stage, and yeah, I just had a bunch of cameras. It kind of looked like one of those practice droids in Star Wars.
You know, okay, yeah.
You know, like the one that Luke has to, he's first trying to use the Force.
Right.
He's got that little droid thing shooting lasers at him.
Oh, he's blindfolded, right? He's like lightsaber bot.
Exactly. Yeah, the 360-degree camera looked like a laser bot.
Holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I imagine it must take a just insane amount of time just to stitch all that footage together, because that was a fairly long video. That was... trying to think of the time on that video. Is that your entire entire set?
It was probably... Or you got some of the banter as well.
Yeah, it was a good portion of, I think, part of what you guys played there.
Yeah, I'd say it was probably, I don't know, maybe half the set.
That's awesome. So with all this skill in film and media and video and stuff, can we see or can we look forward to another upcoming video from Danger Tree anytime soon?
I'd say define what soon is, but absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. So there are things in the works, I guess.
Yeah, I'm always dreaming up ideas.
And fantastic.
We've talked just in our ridiculous rehearsals. The ideas come up, and I don't know. There's definitely something around the corner. I don't know exactly what yet, but
okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome. In the meantime, while we wait, we'd love to hear another acoustic song.
If you would.
You know, this time...
Are you going to be a little more forgiving?
You got it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I missed that completely.
Would. Oh, man. I think we're on a roll today.
Yeah.
So we're going to play one of the older ones, Waiting for the World to End, without Pink Floyd. This one's called Waiting for the World to End and Bend Light from the Sun in a Blackened Ocean. To make it happen and imagine there's no such thing as magic. Tragically, it's true. If you don't have faith in the power you are holding, that you'll never grow into. La 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 la, waiting for the world to end. Wanna see what happens. Waiting for the world to end. And bend light from the sun in a blackened ocean. That's right. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I must have sent the message. At least a one or two. But maybe I'm forgetting, yeah, that I don't know how to do this. I think I forgot curses. So just learning I'm a fool in a world that is burning. But my love means more to you. La 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 la. Oh, my love means more to you. Oh, my love means more to you. In a fire that feels cruel. In a fire that needs fuel. In a fire that needs fuel. And burns life from the bottom of a diamond pool. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. I'm filling in for
James Hudson.
And so we've got Travis. And you just heard a number from the fabulously talented Danger Tree. So since you guys play a variety of styles, the band has been able to play, I assume, a more diverse range of venues in the city, I should say. Do you guys have a favorite venue or type of venue to play in Vancouver?
I think our most fun show is at the Biltmore. But we've been playing at the Libra Room, usually once or twice a month, which is a great space to just kind of refine the sets. And it's a restaurant / pub, so it's, you know, don't have to worry about all eyes being on you at all times.
Right. Do you find it's a good, I would say, like, place to try out, like, new songs or kind of see how Absolutely. The crowd reacts with that?
Absolutely. I've also, thanks to Jeff and Jesse, who are fantastic improvisers, been repeatedly pushed out of my comfort zone to...
That's awesome.
I still wouldn't call myself an improviser, but I've definitely jumped in more times because of playing with these guys and being in that space.
Right. So have you been able to improvise more in a live setting or more so in a rehearsal, kind of like trying out new things in terms of collaborations and songwriting?
I'd say both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I've come around, especially, you know, it's been a year of playing with these guys. And so we're all musically, we're comfortable with one another. Interpersonally, we're comfortable with one another. And I think that's beginning to reflect in rehearsals, particularly for the Libra Room as well. It's like playing something on the spot and just making it up as you go has been, yeah.
Right, you're kind of
practice,
kind of gaining some more, I guess, confidence and being able to step a little more further out of your comfort zone within that. That's awesome. Regarding kind of being a musician in Vancouver, what challenges have you come across, or have there been any challenges in terms of playing, recording, just trying to live and play?
Well, I'm fortunate that I've got other things in the fire, and so I get to live a very creative lifestyle that ebbs and flows between these different mediums. But of course, like any artist living in Vancouver, finances can prove to be challenging, or having consistent finances.
Always, yeah.
Being able to sustain your creative practice while simultaneously living your life and having to, you know, go to the dentist, eat your food, also to be able to go out and afford to support other, other artists and go to other shows and experience what it is to live in a diverse city that's got a lot going on.
Yeah, do you find there's struggle in terms of, I guess, like balancing everything, life, music, work, fun, entertainment, all that kind of stuff?
I'd say it's found its flow more often than not. Again, like I've been doing mostly freelance stuff since January, and before that I was doing seasonal work. That afforded me the time to practice balancing things in the off season.
Right. So you have found some flexibility in that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I find it, I've learned for myself personally, it's important to just let creative energy go where it wants to go, and you know, trust that you're always building a foundation that you can place the rest of your experience on.
Absolutely. So Danger Tree plays live in a few different lineup configurations. Sometimes you play as a three-piece. Other times you're joined by Adam. I hope I'm not butchering his name. Is it last name Gove?
Gove.
On saxophone, and Isaac Robinson on trombone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference for a certain configuration, or would you rather be a bigger live band on a more permanent basis?
I mean, it's always fun bringing out other textures and people.
Right.
But it also depends on the venue. Like we wouldn't bring the horn section here. This is fun. Just
it's a little tight
acoustic thing. But then for for gigs like the Anza Club EP release show, like that was a lot of fun to have the horn section there.
As a whole new layer to what you guys are creating.
Yeah. Well, the very first EP release show I had with Danger Tree ended up being a 9-piece band.
Wow.
Just because I made the mistake of asking friends who are all musicians if they would play with me for this one night, and all of them said yes, including Jesse and Jeff.
Hey, that's fantastic. That's awesome.
It was great. It was just, speaking of struggles, like, 8 other people is a lot to juggle.
Absolutely. Just trying to teach everybody the songs, line up schedules, rehearsals, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So looking ahead to 2019, what do you all have planned?
As far as Danger Tree
goes? Yeah, as long as Danger Tree show goes.
Hopefully, in the wake of successful funding, getting some more recording done, and be sweet to get into festivals. It's absolutely kind of that level of like independent musicianship in the cities. Get a few albums under your belt. You play. You build up a little bit of a name for yourself in the city, and then you get out. And
keep growing from there.
Keep growing from there.
Yeah, absolutely. For you guys, do you have any local bands or artists that you'd recommend that we bring on the show? Mm. Any favorites of yours that are currently doing some awesome things here in the city?
Absolutely. Do you want to answer?
I think Cassidy Waring, she'd be a good artist to have in here.
She's great.
I'm doing stuff with her right now. And another guy, Sam Balson, who also plays in that band, doing some stuff with him. And I could be here again.
So. Yeah, it seems you're in a ton of different projects, which is awesome.
Stuff's happening.
Super cool. And for you, Kale, are there any artists you'd recommend or bands?
Well, going off that last note, I would definitely recommend bringing Jesse back here because he's also an incredible songwriter. He's got his own stuff.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Brian O'Brien, I love everything that guy's doing.
Yeah, I caught him at Guilt & Co. last Sunday.
Last Sunday, that was a fantastic, it was amazing. Fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
His band is super tight. His songs are, I love that guy.
He's got an amazing voice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So kind of finally, as we're wrapping things up here, we're going to be moving over to the Snug shortly, where we're going to catch a larger intimate set from you guys, which we're really looking forward to. But how can listeners check out your music and keep up with everything you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, there's the whole Facebook, Instagram route. I think Instagram is the thing I'm updating most these days just because it's most streamlined. For music, you can do Bandcamp, you can do the Spotify thing, there's music videos online. If we're speaking optimistically here, once the funding goes through, there'll definitely be a website that's brought up where we'll be keeping things a little more active.
But that's great, yeah.
Yeah, there's some options.
Just Bing us.
Just Bing
us.
Yeah. Yahoo.ca.
/DangerTree.
Yeah.
All one word. We'll find you there. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to do this. We are looking forward to catching your more full set in the Snug in just a few minutes here. So if you're in the area, definitely swing on by. Catch this amazing, the duo this time. What's going to be a great, great show. As always, thanks for listening. We're your hosts.
Travis Noel.
And Jaden Fraze.
That was an awkward way to do
that. That was an awkward transition. So, Pacific Sound Radio is produced. Bye.
It's produced, don't worry. This is a thing that happens.
It does happen.
Yeah.
By myself, Jaden Fraze, filling in for Mr. James Olson today. You can catch him and the fabulous Travis next Sunday from 4 to 6. And speaking of checking us out and listening in, where can people go to find more information about us, Travis?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, as well as our Instagram, at Pacific Sound Radio, Twitter, at Pacific S Radio, YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, where you can check out Snug videos and interviews and fun stuff like that, as well as our website, pacificsoundradio.com.
Finally, if you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. As always, we are live on the air every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. only on Save On Radio. We're going to cap things off with one more song from Danger Tree. This is Strange Thing.
Visions on the rise. Sit down. for a minute, or you're gonna get it. Don't know what's in it, forget it for a second. Learn my lesson, my mind be messing. You do true blessing, and you're all I need. To be truly gifted, gives the mind shifted. Living every minute of another, what's a realism? Never really finish it, if we finish, only what I really